Well, now, on this, the 28th day of April, 2021, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, this is PJ, your internet pastor, saying, welcome to my website. I'm glad you came back. Dinah Ross. Washington.
The sky was blue.
Dinah Washington.
High above.
Dinah Washington.
The moon was new and so was love.
What's happening?
This eager heart of mine is singing.
What is it saying?
Where can you be?
Lover, where can you be? Where?
You came at last.
Yeah.
Love had its day.
Uh-huh.
That day is past.
What
you've
happened?
Gone away.
All right.
This aching heart of mine is singing. Lover, come on back to me. Well, I remember every little thing we used to do.
All right.
I'm so lonely. Every road I walk alone with you. No, I wonder I am lonely. The sky is blue. The night is cold. The moon is new. But love is old. And while I'm waiting here, this heart of mine is singing, lover, lover, come back to me. Thank you.
Washington, Dinah Washington, from an album called Dinah Jams. Junior Mans on the piano, Dinah Washington, I'm telling you. And what makes this particular cut very, very important to me, it was filmed, not filmed, but recorded right here in Los Angeles on August the 14th, 1954. So that means 54, 55. I was 10 years old when that was recorded in the city of my birth, Los Angeles. That was way back in 1954. I was alive, and here I am in 2021. Now, why should you listen to me on the rest of this webcast? Because I'm going to talk about mentoring, why black men need a mentor. I've always been one of those. I am one of those now. I am not what they call a waymaker or a life coach. I don't see myself as that. I'm a mentor, and I need proteges. Whatever the range of the proteges mine takes him, I have to touch that which is male in him. Let me give you a little bit of background about that wonderful piece that we just heard, A Lover Come Back to Me. It was from the jam sessions in Los Angeles. And this particular album, it doesn't tell me where it took place, but that's the way jazz used to be played in this city. You don't hear it like that, especially with live audiences. It was one of the most memorable ever assembled, this writer says. Bob Shedd produced the session, and it was recorded in front of a studio audience with a working band as a nucleus. The quintet of trumpeter Clifford Brown and drummer Max Roach, with the bassist George Morrow, pianist Richie Powell, and tenor saxes, Harold Land. My goodness. Just some beautiful, beautiful music. And Dinah's part in this, she wasn't just a jazz singer like Ella Fitzgerald or Sarah Vaughan. She didn't scat. Dinah Washington didn't scat. I recall when I was a young man, and Dinah Washington had many radio hits, and I used to listen to her sing, but she never scatted. No, no. She didn't sing around the lyrics or the melody too much. Yet her feelings for rhythm and the blues aspect of her voice, the very sound of her voice, were just as essential in jazz. She'd already recorded for many, many record labels. Mercury was the one that I remember. But it was 1954 was a real turning point for her. Greatest years and the biggest hits to come. Because remember, I was turning into a teenager then. I was 10 in 1956. Mommy passed away. And Daddy, for that next Christmas, had given me a radio. They were in little plastic boxes. Mine was white, had a nice dial on it, and you had radio stations like KGFJ and maybe a couple of others. K-Jazz, in that sense, was there, and I listened to that whenever I can get it, but the radio that my daddy gave me was an AM radio only. And that's where I grew up and learned how to listen to Dinah Washington. And the album, again, is called Dinah Jams. Going to be hearing from other people on this hour also. As I said yesterday, I want to get back in the groove with you. I want to be able to, how can I say, relate to my audience a little bit. And I want to talk about the need of the young black man needing a mentor. Now, you know, I've already gotten into one back and forth conversation this week concerning R. Kelly. and his being found guilty on all those counts and going to jail and everything like that. I want to go deeper into the conversation. My sister was telling me about R. Kelly, informing me that when he was a young man, he was raised by his family, and his big sister really raised him. And the brother even testified to this in some of the court hearings, that the sister molested him, and that's where he got into the habit of molesting women. I don't know anything about that. I heard that his background was tainted from the first. Well, if that is a fact, then R. Kelly had a mental health problem instead of a lustful problem. I'm trying to see if you want to put it in there, because that's what they do nowadays. You know, I find it interesting. A black man can rob a smoke shop where you don't even go in. You just pull a knife at the plastic window. That black man get caught. He'll get 55 years for attempted murder. Now look at the difference. A white girl crying on the video, "Help me, this man is going to hurt me," to the white policeman. Oh, my God. Can you believe that? We got the videos of it, and they ignore her cries for help, talking about mental health. Who needs a doctor? Come to find out now they're looking for her so-called fiancé, who said, oh, well, you know, he probably said, she's just a woman. Well, you're talking about criminal. And they just now putting out a warrant for his arrest, and they got, it looks like, 1 million white people looking for him in the forest because of the death of this one white girl at the murderer's hands of her so-called lover fiancé. Now, if that don't make for a TV movie or a Nightline special on ABC, I don't know what will. Ridiculous. But I'm talking about being a mentor to a black man. Not to people that, because I don't want to be a mentor like the people that are promulgating this push to find this killer who killed his fiance, lied to the police. I wonder, when they catch him, are they going to walk him in, patting him on his little booty, and you're going to be all right, Jethro? Or are they going to treat him like a law enforcement officer in this country is supposed to treat a true killer, felon? Oh, that's going to be interesting. Interesting. Janet Jackson, the entertainer, said that a mentor is always there, telling a child to believe. Well, Janet, I appreciate what you're saying. But no, as a mentor, I'm not telling them to believe. I'm telling him the right thing to do that's going to get the result that he needs to accomplish life's task. Then Janet goes on and say, to believe in himself or herself. Oh, no, 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 hold it. As a black man, as a black woman, you can't help but to believe in you. You live in you. I want you to think with me. Let's stop listening to the psychological experts. You are the master of your own destiny. You are the psychologist and the expert of your own life. Jenny goes on and says, to believe in the opportunities that are available above all. No, those opportunities are fading. R. Kelly, the famous singer who is now going to spend probably the rest of his life behind bars, wrote a song entitled, I Believe I Can Fly. I seriously asked myself this question, and I'm not trying to mock the man, because now more than ever, he will have a chance to think about the words to that song as he looks at the high walls of the prison and wished that he had wings to fly away. I feel sorry for him. Now, I was speaking to a friend of mine over the internet earlier about this, and I said, what amazes me about the internet is all the people that loved R bumped their booties off of his music, followed his videos, are now turning on him, calling him a scoundrel and a dirty, filthy, nasty rascal. No. You know what R. Kelly's problem was? He did not have a mentor. And he probably, because they tell me that he was uneducated, that he could barely read, if at all, yet a millionaire making music. There have been many a black man that were illiterate, and when they got money, they hired a tutor to teach them how to take care of business. That's why many black folk end up with nada thing in life, because they were too busy enjoying life and not thinking about the future, especially if you live in a democracy. Albeit the democracy's laws are twisted, we must obey someone. There can never be enough positive role models for young boys, especially in my community. With so much media attention focused upon the images of black men and other people of color, it is vitally essential that successful black men step up to the plate and mentor these younger men. Now, you know me, I'm not going to talk about anybody that's gay. I'm not going to talk about anybody that's a tranny. I'm not going to talk about racism. I'm going to talk about human beings alive and living and the need of a mentor in the African-American male's life, because for the past 20 to 25 years, that African-American male has been totally feminized in the way he thinks, behaves, and chooses his choices in the very near future. He does not think as a true protege should think. I must do a little bragging. If you go to Mario Canto's Facebook and you see that young man, where he is, what he's doing, who he's with, he lived with me for going on 14 years. From junior college to graduating from University of Santa Barbara, going on getting his bachelor's degree, going to Europe, Spain, England, Madrid, Portugal. Now he's in Papua New Guinea doing a work. Just go to his Facebook. I was his mentor. He was born, excuse me, right here in this same city that I was born in, Los Angeles. He has siblings here in the city, grandparents, but I raised him for 13 years after his mama died. And he is performing a great work. And if that work doesn't go forward, and if he doesn't come out top of the line positive the way I know he will, then great forces of evil came against him. Not only prayers, that is, petitions to Jah to keep him safe and to give him victory in everything that he proceeds to do, but to carry him onward, even to the point of establishing himself under a very good possibility in another country altogether, from whence he did not come. How could a young man have such a determination? Because I mentored him. He took his first drink of alcohol with me, because I said, you're going to grow up and be in a real world. Boy, you got to learn how to socialize. He would really refuse the alcohol when I would have a glass of wine because there was alcoholism in his family and it made a mark on him, but that didn't. I said, no, you can't let that stain you. There's a proper way to do everything. There's a proper way to eat. I've seen young men around me that I had stay with me a few days. You'd put food on a plate and they had both of their forearms around the plate, like they were trying to protect the plate from being invaded by other people. I had to systematically take their arms, rub them on the back of their necks and heads, and say, it's all right, it's okay. You can eat. Nobody's going to take your food. That's yours. And there's more on the stove. A mentor. Sure, many young brothers have a hero to look up to. Some people look up to people like Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, basketball players, football players. These young men not only idolize their heroes, but they often try to imitate them. They try to wear the clothes they wear. However, all boys need someone that they can touch and talk to in person. That's me. I love to touch a young man I'm around. I tell him, come here, boy, let me touch you. I don't need you to. I said, if you don't touch me, we're not going to get close. See, it's important if you're a mentor to know your protege. And of course, we're talking about proper ways to touch, right? For those of you that have poison. And see, that's another thing. If you ever become a mentor to a young black man, know that there will be poisonous individuals out there that is going to take your good intentions as foul intentions, especially if the boy wants to touch you back. See what I mean? Because that means that I'm training the young man not to be afraid of human touch. Human touch is good. You see it in football games. I love to see the way the football players, and they jump up and down like teenagers now. When I watched football 10, 15 years ago, somebody make a tackle or a touchdown, they just get them, walk back to the huddle. These boys skip back. I saw Dak Prescott when he marched on the field this week on Monday Night Football to beat the Eagles. He skipped on. I said, look at him skipping like a little boy. Different generation of men. I don't know who Dak's mentor was, Prescott probably didn't need that much of a mentor, because you can tell by his disposition, especially when he injured his ankle last year, and the kind of discipline he put in to get back in shape. Whomever his mentor was, did a most excellent job. R. Kelly never had a mentor, a male mentor anyhow. Because if he had a decent male mentor, not no preacher, not somebody telling him he's going to go to hell if he don't leave that sex stuff alone. Because I am very highly sexually, I'm yet sexually motivated. I mean, high temp. And I'm an older man, so don't think that that dissipates as you get old. It only gets stronger. And it's stronger for this because as a mentor, I don't want to have sex with the men. I want the men to reach their fullest potential. And the only way that you can do it, you have to know something about the men in our community. Our young men need someone that they can touch and talk to in person. We live in a cell phone world, people. We live in a world where half the stuff that we're going through is not even genuine. Listen, it doesn't make any difference whether you empty trash and you live down the block, or whether you're a school teacher in a classroom. Any of you can become mentors, if you understand what I'm saying. You have the power to help these young people steer their life into the right path. That's what a mentor does. You don't be talking like, I disagree with Janet Jackson. They'll be, just believe. No. Live your... See, women cannot mentor young boys into strong men. They can't. And I'm just quoting from the book here. Okay? Section 8 is be a mentor or a role model to a young brother. And they had a statement by Janet Jackson, the entertainer. She is wrong. And that is what has happened to our young men today. Now, the editors of the book, and I'll share that with you again, what black men should do now, 100 Simple Truths, Ideas, and Concepts, by K. Thomas Oglesby. Now, Oglesby wrote a grand book, but when he asked Janet Jackson to give her, no, she can't do it. Who is she mentoring? See, and R. Kelly couldn't be my... I remember when I was in the church and I was pastoring, and this song came out, I Believe I Can Fly, it came out. First AME here in Los Angeles, Cecil Chip Murray was a pastor. I know because when this record was out, I had a radio program. And Cecil Chip Murray was on there. And I remember I would listen to First AME Sunday morning, and they singing R. Kelly's record. And I'm saying, what in the world are these people singing these lyrics in a Christian, that would be abomination in a mosque. It would just be flat out abomination. They jump you and beat you. And these people were celebrating R. Kelly while he was in the midst of doing these hideous crimes. So that shows you how enlightened the organized African American religious institutions are. They are not. Because one of the first things that you do is you ask yourself, do the lyrics and the personality that did the lyrics fit the modus operandi that you are attempting to get your people to fall into. If it's mysticism, I guess you could say yes. Well, having said that and made enemies of some of you, I think it's about time for me to play a little music and so that we can keep this charade going. I want to play a group for you, and you've never heard of the group before, undoubtedly. And since we're talking about mentors and things like that, I'm going to let you hear a group of people that have been mentored by instruments. And what they've done is they've changed their voices into instruments. Listen to this number by the Swingle Singers. Prelude number 9 by the Swingle Singers. I recall I was about 19, 20 years old when their first album came out. And I've never heard the human voice do things like that. What they did is a drummer and a bassist. And they made music. And the music was from back in the day. I'm playing an album called Jazz Sebastian Bach, the Swingle Singers. Ten folks, 10 of them, men and women, all Anglo, sounding like the instruments, very popular back in the day. All right, let's get back down into this mentor thing that I'm talking about. And ain't it just like me to make everything controversial? See? Male, female, there you go, John Coleman. See, we as men, I believe, possess the ability to make a difference because these young brothers can know us. Like I said yesterday in the webcast, young man asked me something. I said, brother, I don't ever lie to a young man. They lie to me. And I told him, I said, my home and my heart will always be open to you if you need a place to just settle down and think and talk and reason things out. See what a mentor does? He offers himself as a tool to help. Now, if you're married, that's kind of difficult because, honey, baby, your baby mama is not going to like that because she's going to want all of your attention. And when she sees you giving, and I got to tell you, Lucy saw that in me. I was terrible for ignoring my wife and giving a hell of a lot of attention to the people that came my way. because I truly loved the job that I was in. But anyway, back to mentoring. Remember, when we mentor in our community, we feel better not only about the prospects of our people, but also about ourselves, because we know that we're helping that brother. And it's exciting to know that I helped Morio to turn his life around. I can say I did it. That's exciting. That's not braggadocious. That's not being disrespectful for what his mother and father and grandparents, anybody else, if they ever did anything in his life. I know what I did. I didn't sacrifice anything for Morio or the other young men that I helped. And you see, I'm still trying to give you Christian objectives or absolutes, because that's what the faith should have been teaching us to teach our young men. It's not teaching them not. It was too much T.D. Jakes. Too much Eddie Long. Remember him? Being the wind beneath a child's wings leads to a feeling inside that invigorates the soul, both your soul and the soul of the young man. That's called energy, touching each other. That's why you got to touch him, because in the touch you pass on the energy. He can tell if the touch is ugly. He can tell if that touch is dirty. He can tell it, because he's a little man. Now, some of these young men may be bigger than you and weigh twice as much as you weigh, but he's still a man, but he needs to be guided. He needs to be taught. Furthermore, when we mentor an individual, we help keep one more individual of the streets, off the streets, and out of trouble, and then we prevent one more tragedy from becoming a headline in our community, in my case, in the Crenshaw hood. I remember one day I had to call the police on a young man I had over here. Next thing I know, my neighbor around the block had texted me, "Be careful, there's somebody on your street with a gun." It was me. Also, we offer young people a chance to experience new perspectives on life. They need it, because the ones that they got in their families was all screwed up. We have to take them somewhere outside of their everyday environment. I don't know how many young men I've driven in my car. I've driven to Vegas, Palm Springs. Man, I've just driven. We just get in the car. I remember one I took to San Francisco. I said, "Have you ever been in San Francisco?" A friend of mine was in San Francisco doing some business and wanted me to meet him there. So I said, "Yeah, I had that convertible Lexus." And I said, "I haven't put the car on the highway, just got a new set of tires." And so he said, "Well, meet me in San Francisco." And I did. And one of the young men, and I said, "You want to go with me and ride with me? Have you ever been to Frisco?" He had never gone. I took him for the first time. You should have seen his eyes when, in my car with the top down, we passed over the Golden Gate Bridge. Should have seen him, people. Should have seen my boy. You should have seen my boy. And you know why I call him my boy? Because at that moment, he was my boy. I always wanted sons. I don't know what's the matter with a man that's going to criticize another man. You got to look at why that man is in the position or the shape that he's in. I just saw a picture of one of my other proteges. I didn't like how his life turned out, but he's looking good. I don't care what nobody say. He's looking good where he is, and I'm going to try to stay in touch with him. But we have to make the difference in these people's life. And we have to choose to be that person that makes a difference. Because if you don't choose to do it, you are not going to do it. Now, we got to take certain steps to get where we need to be. Sometimes you got to find yourself joining a group whose mission is to help young people. You see, where you live, if you don't, or you can't, are you inhibited, or you just can't get it done by yourself, there are other people around you that can help you with young people. I suggest you look for men and not women. And I suggest that you check the man's record. I mean, if he's not too many black men haven't been booked. I've never been booked, fingerprinted, or put in jail. I've never had the privilege. But there's some black men that have lived that life. But you have to check out their lives, young men, before you set your wing under them. Because if they constantly coming up on the poor end of the deal, you need to drop it. Also, if you want to think about becoming a good mentor, you might volunteer to work with young people during their after-school activities. Here in this city in Los Angeles, you have to be certified, go through some police. They're checking for sex offenders and everything now because, God help us, so many people in our environment these days have been molested repeatedly themselves, like R. Kelly was. That's why he was only doing what was done to him. That's a mental health problem. And what did he do? He made love songs. Bump and grind. Get that girl. Do that. Was he screaming out? Was he trying to talk back? Don't we want to give him a chance to be psychoanalyzed? Like we would do a football player that would drop a pass that was right in his arms? Oh, come on. Come on. You want to be a mentor? Spend quality time with children in the neighborhood. Stop trying to go to the west side if you're from the south side. Stay your behind in the hood and work with the brothers and sisters in your neighborhood. Stop trying to go to what they call the nice part of town. Teach a boy how to ride a bike. If you like fishing, I don't, and you do, take the boy fishing with you. Ask his parents. Play games with him like checkers, Scrabble. Show him how to use their mind. Build a treehouse? Yeah, I guess so. You can go to Home Depot now and they'll send you one and put it in the tree for you. Use a computer or paint. That's what I was going to do this weekend. If any young man comes by to see me this weekend coming up, they're going to be helping me paint the inside rooms of some of the rooms in my home. Because that's what I do. Now, if they come by and say, I don't want to do that, I say, all right, get out. I said, I was just trying to teach you how to do a few things. Listen, take them to a sports activity game and stuff like that. And think of a man that mentored you. Can you call on that male mentor that mentored you and say thanks for making a difference in your life? I've had Mario Cantor, I've had more than Mario tell me, thank you, old man. Man, you set me up and started me on my way. I am a mentor, and I am constantly looking for new proteges. One of the things that I think a mentor is going to have to do, and it's interesting because as I'm reading through this book, coming upon section 9, it says, practice nonviolence. Ain't that the truth? The Reverend Jesse Jackson, who's still with us, thank God, says that we must turn to each other and not on each other. Yeah, it just sounds just like a Baptist minister. Turn to each other, as opposed to turning on one another. And that's what black men do. Black men, we turn on each other in a minute. We would love every other nationality and the way they do their lives. But when it comes to loving our own and doing our own lives, we always find ourselves trying to look at the brother and find some fault in him. Well, what's the matter with that nigga? Where is he going? You know what I'm talking about. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, one thing many brothers know about is violence in our community, because a lot of them come from homes that are full of it. Some of us have been a victim of it or witnessed it firsthand. Whenever I witness firsthand violence in my community, it makes me shudder. That means that as a kid growing up, I didn't see it in my house too much. But others have heard of it or only read of it. Well, that's what I've only heard of it. But violence is something that has touched most of the lives of the young men in our community in some way or the other. And it comes in many forms, such as physical abuse. Yeah. Bullying in school. That's what scared the hell out of me. Because I was never the athletic, I'd jump up in your face and do that. I didn't have cousins coming by to teach me how to be mean or how to defend myself against a right-hand side blow to my head. So, yes, it comes in many, many forms. Physical abuse, mental abuse, even yelling or arguing or cursing. And the black man is full of this. And so when you see people from other cultures and they say, look at them, I don't know what's wrong with them. Why are they all fussing and fighting in the projects? Why are they tearing up what they got? What's wrong with these people? They don't practice nonviolence. They don't practice that. You got to think about it. Violence often occurs between two acquaintances or two people who know each other very, very well. You can be our brothers, our mothers, grandfathers, friends in the family. Listen, I know black people. Our co-workers, I remember a co-worker wanted to fight me on the job so bad. And I said, Ronald, I don't want to lose my job and go to jail. And we two black men, know what I told him? He wanted to fight me in the warehouse. He kept pushing me. I said, that hurt, Ronald. What are you doing? We were warehousemen for the LAPD. I said, we're black men. It's hard already on us. I'm not going to hit you and fight you because I love you, man. That's what I told him. And you want to know something? He heard what I said. We fight with our coworkers a lot, don't we? We're always involved in conflict. We see it all the time. Black males are statistically implicated in only a small percentage of a number of violent crimes in America, yet we are more likely to be on the front page of the daily newspaper or at the top of the newscast as a result of illegal activities. And we do a hell of a lot of that. A lot of that's still going on. Stealing money out of old people's bank accounts. I've had that done. I've had it done to me. I'm not playing. So we have this negative attitude instead of thinking about something positive in our community. Indeed, we grow weary as we bear about another three or four black men in our community being murdered. But in Chicago, it's much more than that. Every day, all over the South Side, black men and women and children are falling because of gunshot fatalities that are taking place. Unfortunately, murder is the fourth leading cause of death for all black men. And it is a leading cause of death for black males between the ages of 15 and 24. That is unbelievable. Just unbelievable to think that a young person can die in that age range. 15 to 24 years. In between the cream of our unmerciful crop being decimated at the hands of another black man, there needs to be mentors in our community. Are you willing to join me? You have to be willing. It is in our best interest to act quickly to stop the senseless killings, the rapes, the abuse, the hatred amongst our own people, against our own people. Our survival depends upon it if we're going to survive within the next 50 or 60 years in this country. I doubt seriously whether I'll be alive. I'm hoping I can live another 25 years to at least see 100, 102, something like that. But I doubt whether I'll be alive. I'd love to see what happens. Remember, before we point fingers towards the white man for plotting to exterminate us, and a lot of that's been going on. I've even find myself saying the same things when I see the way a lot of white people in power respond when it comes to looking at the true plight of black folk on the planet. We've got to first look at ourselves and question, what are each of us doing to stop each other, to stop killing each other, that is? What are we doing? Are we explaining to these young men how this world operates? Well, we don't have to look very far to discover that right now we are doing a fine job at self-extermination as a people. Let me give you some action statements that'll follow. Practice nonviolence. Never hit your partner or your children. And remember, clenched fists don't make you a man. I know you're seeing, a lot of you seeing your daddies do it, your uncles do it, your big brothers, your cousins. If you must keep a gun in the house, I must. So I got one. Keep it and the bullets in a separate place. Also keep them out of the reach of children. I like that. Mine happen to be in both in the same place, because I keep mine at the ready. I live alone. I have to be ready. Let me tell you something. If I were mentoring a young man, I'd say, get yourself a firearm. You can't trust everybody in this environment. Also, don't be a bully. What goes around comes around, and you get yours in the long run. In the long run, when you beat up on somebody, they're going to come and they're going to jump on you and whoop your little ass. If you suspect domestic abuse going on, report it immediately and stop laughing and talking about it with your buddies. And if you suspect a child is being abused, report it by calling the right authorities. Stop the violence. That's what you're trying to do. Understand what constitutes sexual harassment on and off the job. You can't be talking with anybody the way you want to talk with them now. You can't even look at people. And here I am talking about, when I talked about being a mentor, touch your protege. You can't even be talking like that around these people. You don't know who's educated them, how fearful they are of human touch. And you can only imagine a person that don't want nobody ever touching him, how he's going to be towards a person he marries when she want to touch him all over. He going to think there's something wrong with her. See? So, you know, just take that under consideration. They do have nonviolence prevention courses, medication courses for these things to teach you what kind of stuff you can take to keep yourself from getting sick and all that. And don't yell and cuss at everyone that you don't agree with. Count to 10, take a deep breath, this writer says. Lower your voice and opt to discuss the matter later when you're calmer. All those suggestions make sense. And a mentor can teach you that. And I do it all the time. I've been around the house, and some of these men have wanted to contend with me about some things. I want to tell you something. It didn't work. There we go. I'm sorry for the delay. It's been an hour, and I've enjoyed myself. And next time, as I continue to look at this, we're going to... I think I handled that. I don't know whether I gave you that. But it would be a good one for me to look into. Here's a statement that'll give you a hint where I'm going next time. You can buy all the sports equipment and clothing you want. That sounds like me. And you can join a health club. But if the gear stays in the closet and you don't actually do the health club, it doesn't do you any good. So you can imagine what my next talk to you brothers will be about. Thank you so much for coming to my website, and thank you for being a faithful listener. I love you.